Today's presenter is Catherine Richards. Catherine joined the Webster Application Service technical support team in March of 2001. She works directly with customers to resolve technical problems involving security and administration of Webster Application Server. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Catherine.
Thanks, Elijah. So as he was saying, the presentation today is on the key management changes that have occurred in Webster version 6.1. We can move ahead to the agenda, slide 2. I'm going to go over why these changes were made, what exactly was changed, the concept of key sets and key set groups, which have both been introduced in version 6.1, the different ways of viewing LTPA keys. I'm going to go over some things to know or things to be aware of that might trip you up if you aren't aware of them. Some important fixes that have been put in place that you need to have applied, and how to check for corrupted key files. And I did place a slide at the end with some how-to links. These are links to the Info Center that will give you step-by-step instructions on various key management tasks that I'll be overviewing in this presentation. So this is a relatively short presentation, but pretty important stuff. So we can move ahead to slide 3. So first of all, why did we make some changes? A fundamental principle of cryptographic keys is that they should be changed periodically. In previous versions, WebSphere 6 and 6.0 and below, you could only store one set of LTPA keys. And these were stored in the configuration file. And in order to change them, it was quite a process in that you would have to generate your keys. When they became active in the runtime would just simply, the old keys would just disappear. So if you had any kind of LTPA tokens that were still out there generated with the old keys, they would no longer be valid. So you could potentially have some outages when it came to customers trying to validate to websites and so forth. So they wanted to make a change to that so that WebSphere will now, in version 6.1, will now store two different sets of keys. And I think we can go ahead and move on to slide 4. So, like I said, WebSphere will recognize multiple LTPA keys. You can tell it how many keys you want active at one time. You can have more than two. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the new keys will be used for encrypting and decrypting tokens in WebSphere, of course. The old keys that will still be stored are used for tokens that have not yet expired. So you shouldn't have any users who, say, have a LTPA token cached in a browser with an old, using the old key can still be decrypted. This is kind of a reminder, the LTPA token contains, it's an encrypted string which contains the user ID, an expiration time, and a digital signature. The expiration time, if you recall, can be set in the admin console. In version 6.0 and below, the field name was actually called LTPA timeout field. The default for that is 120 minutes or 2 hours. So meaning that once your user logs in, WebSphere authenticates that person, creates the token is valid for that period set in the browser, so 120 minutes by default. In version 6.1, they made a change to the field name. Now it's called kind of this long name, timeout value for forwarded credentials between servers is what it's called now, which is a better description of what it is. So the way this works in version 6.1 is that WebSphere is first going to try to decrypt the LTPA tokens using the newest key. If that fails, then it will try the previous key, you know, the next newest, and so forth. the number of tokens that you created with your previous key will, of course, start to decrease very quickly as they begin to expire. And so, when it's, you know, relatively soon, you're going to have just the new keys being used until you change them again. And so this is completely seamless to the user. You should have no outages using the system. So we can move ahead to slide five. Okay, the first set of LTPA keys are created or were created back when you created your profile in version 6.1. As I mentioned before, the LTPA encryption keys are no longer stored in security.xml file. In version 6.0 and below, if you were to open up the security.xml file and search for shared, public, or secret, any of those three tags, you'll see the actual key values in those files. And so what I used to do as a support rep, if somebody was having trouble with a single sign-on problem between two cells, I would ask for those two security.xml files and compare the keys, making sure that they matched. Well, in version 6.1, you can no longer see the keys in that file because, again, now we're going to maintain multiple versions of those keys, and that file doesn't have room for that. So we now have a key store which contains those keys. The name of that is ltpa.jceks, and that file is stored at the cell level for each profile. So basically, it's going to be under, I gave the path here, under the profiles, config cells, and the cell name. And remember, you're going to have two profiles on a network deployment system. So you'll have one profile for the deployment manager, and you'll have another profile for the application server. So you'll have, by default, two of these files on a network deployment system. If you're just running base, of course, you're just going to have one. You're going to have one application server profile. Okay, on to slide six. So another thing that was added in version 6.1 is automatic LTPA key regeneration. So the LTPA keys are automatically regenerated every 90 days by default. You can change that, of course, to any time period you wish, or disable it if you wish as well. Excuse me. The reason this was added was to help mitigate the security risk of using the same encryption keys, you know, quote-unquote forever. You know, back in version 6.0 and 5.1, once you enabled security and generated the keys, it was potential that you could never need to recreate them again. So they wanted to add in this feature here to help, kind of help prompt people to get this renewed every 90 days or so at least. However, I'll go over this later in the gotcha section. There are some reasons why you may need to disable this and still do it manually. But the feature is there to help out, hopefully in the future, keep things more up to date. So I also have the, back in my how-to links, a link of where you can get instructions on how exactly to disable it if you need to. So moving on to slide seven. Okay, so in version 6.1, we introduced the concept of key sets. In the console, you can see this through the SSL certificate and key management section. Normally, when we talk about a key store, such as the LTPA.jsec file, or you know, even the P12 files that you may be familiar with using for SSL certificates, normally those key stores contain one copy of keys for a particular purpose. Key sets have been introduced for the purpose of supporting multiple versions of a particular key in the same key store. So since we do need to store multiple versions to prevent the outages, your key set's going to have one particular type of key, but several versions of it. So say, you know, like the first one you generated is usually has a name that you can prefix in the console, You can name it something like My Key, and the first time you generate it, you'll see inside the key store, My Key underscore one, and then the second time, My Key underscore two, and so forth. So each key set is specific to a specific key type. You'll see by default the two key sets that are created by default are cell LTPA key set group, and within that you'll see a cell LTPA key pair and then one that says key secret. So you'll have two different types, the symmetric secret key or the asymmetric key pair. The key sets do not determine any kind of the attributes of the key, such as the length or the algorithm. And once you have a key set configured, it's usually placed in a key set group. So for the cell LTPA key group, the two key sets are one for the pair and one for the secret key. And those are placed within one group. And we can move on to slide 8. So the key sets, again, the purpose of that is to maintain multiple versions of the same key. And then grouping the two different types that you need, the asymmetric and the secret, together, you form a key set group. And the purpose of the key set group is so that you can basically update them and manage both of those key sets at the same time. So again, this is in the SSL certificate and key management section of the console. The key set groups allow your key sets to be related in some way and to be updated at the same time. when you do have scheduled updates, meaning the LTPA automatic generation box is set, the scheduler will set a next start date value, which you can see in the admin console on the KeySet group page. The automatic generation, if you're running the network deployment edition, is going to occur in the deployment manager. If you're running base, it's going to occur on the standalone base server. And it will happen when the next start date is reached. Now, I'll talk about this a little bit more later also, but if the processes are not running when your next start date happens, then the key generation is going to happen the next time your process is started. So it will regenerate on server startup if the server was not running at that time. Okay, we can move on to slide 9. Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can look at the LTPA keys. Like I said before, back in the previous version, 6.0 and below, you could actually see the key values by opening up the security.xml file, and that is no longer true in version 6.1. The keys are now stored in the LTPA.jsec file, which can be opened with IKeyman, just like your P12 SSL certificate files can be. However, in IKeyman, the only thing you can see in there is the names of the keys. The IKeyman script is located in under your profile in the bin directory. And the default password for that is the same as the default password for any of our key files, which is the WebAS password. If you do open it up in IKeyman, you'll see under the section there that you'll see the name and then an underscore and the version number. So, you know, say you've got 3 or 4 active keys in there, you'll see the private key, the public key, and the shared key, each with a version number 1, and then see it again with a number 2 and number 3 and so forth. There's a view edit option inside IKeyman that normally with an SSL certificate, you can click on that, and it'll pull up all the attributes of the certificate itself. That does not work for LTPA keys. If you click on that, you'll just get an error. You can't see the actual key values in IKeyman for these LTPA keys. So moving on to slide 10. So So how do you look at them? To look at them, you have to export the keys into some sort of a text file. So it's very easy to do in inside the admin console. You want to click on Security Administration, Applications and Infrastructure, and then you'll see over to the right a little bit, Authentication Mechanisms and Expiration. And there's a button on that page for import and export. So you're going to need to specify a password at this time. And if you need, when you're setting up single sign-on, you need to export these keys anyway to import them into the cell that has to share these two LTPA keys. So that's what the password is for. The password allows you to re-import it back into another Webster cell or a Domino server or a Tivoli Access Manager in order to set up single sign-on. So when you give it a password, make sure you remember what it is so that you can re-import the file later. I always, whenever I export these, I just give it a text extension, .txt, and that's always worked perfectly well for me. I just, you tell it where you want it to go, I type in key.txt, and then I'm able to open it up and I can see the key values. And so, you know, certainly the support rep, if I've got people coming in with a problem with single sign-on not working, I'll ask them to export the keys from both this cell and the other cell that they're trying to communicate with and take a look at the values and make sure that they match that way. So moving on to slide 11. Okay, going over some of the things you need to be aware of so that they don't trip you up is, first of all, once you generate a new set of keys, which on the key set group panel, you need to make sure that you have actually clicked the save button at the top of the panel. If you forget to do that, obviously, the keys will not be saved, and it's easy to, I don't know, for some reason people forget to do it. So they think they've generated a new set of keys, and they really have not. Another very important item that we see quite a bit with PMRs coming through is LTPS authentication uses time-sensitive tokens. And because of that, if you're trying to do single sign-on communication between two different servers, it's very important that the time, the date, and the time zone are synchronized among all the product servers that are participating in that particular, we call it a protected domain. So the changes to the time, date, and the time zone and so forth are done independently from WebSphere. And so if the clock skew is too high between the servers, the LTPA token seems prematurely expired and causes authentication or validation failures. And so this will manifest itself inside the system out.log. You can often see error messages that will say LTPA token expiration exceptions. And you can also end up with users who are being prompted to log in inappropriately when they should not be. So one question I get asked a lot is like, well, you know, is there any kind of cushion to this? And sort of the rule of thumb that I go by is 5 minutes. You really don't, anything greater than a 5 minute difference between servers is really definitely going to cause you trouble. There's no guarantee that, you know, say a 3 minute difference won't cause the same amount of trouble as well. But for the most part, we try to use the 5 minute sort of rule. Okay, on to slide 12. Okay, so before you generate keys, you need to make sure that all your processes are running, all your cells, all your nodes, all the application servers. If any of this is down at the time that the keys are generated and then brought back up later, the servers might contain old keys. And so then you could end up with, of course, validation failures, authentication failures, and also just synchronization problems between the deployment manager and the nodes. So if that does happen, you want to copy the new set of keys to those servers and then bring them back up. So on to slide 13. Okay, so probably the biggest thing to be aware of at the moment on automatic LTPA key generation is that it will break single sign-on. This is something that just with adding an automatic key generation function, it's kind of one of those things that's it's a price to pay, basically, for having the ability to automatically generate your keys. So for LTPA single sign-on to work, the keys have to match between the WebSphere cells. So if you've got a server that's going to automatically generate those keys, the minute they're generated, it's not going to match any other of the cells that you've exported and imported this into. So for servers any servers that you have that participate in LTPA single sign-on, you will need to disable the automatic generation function. And so I do have a link to how to do that at the end of this presentation. And so essentially, you will need to, you know, just disable that and then schedule a manual update of the keys, re-export and re-import at a point that you think is reasonable to change the keys. So my last point says, when it's time to replace the keys, manually generate the new ones in the cell and copy to all your other cells. Okay, on to slide 14. Okay, there have been quite a few fixes, especially to the LTP automatic key generation function in here that you need to be aware of. Right now, the latest cumulative fix that we have out for version 6.1 is number 13. So this first one here, PK51966, issues with LTPA keys being generated multiple times, confusing the deployment manager and the nodes. That is targeted for 6.1.0.15, which is due out next week. Keep in mind when I say due out, it's not a guarantee. Things happen and things get pushed out. In this particular defect, what we were seeing is when people had the automatic LTPA key generation turned on and the next start date was reached, instead of generating one set of keys, it was generating more than one, and the deployment manager and the nodes were no longer synchronized. The next one was the next A part here, PK42118. WebSphere application server was generating these new keys even though people had this disabled, this automatically generate keys disabled. So you definitely need to be at 6109 minimum. Because, like I said before, for single sign-on, you need to have that disabled, and so you don't want to run into this bug. Other one, PK58040. Another one, you've got some LTPA token validation errors after the automatic generation. That's another one that's targeted for 6.1.0.15. There was also a problem with setting the next start date was being set incorrectly. People were setting it, trying to set it for 90 days, and it was getting set for 9, that type of thing. That has been fixed in the latest fix that's available, 6.1.0.13. And then there was a scripting problem as well, if you were trying to import the keys using scripting, the wsadmin function. So that's fixed in 6.109. So moving on to slide 15. So the bottom line from all those fixes is that in order for your keys, for LCPA key functionality to work as well as it can, you need to be at 6.109 minimum. 6.0.13 is better. And everyone right now should disable the automatic LCPA key generation until you're able to move to 6.0.15. That's probably definitely the biggest gotcha that we have right now. And remember, you know, I'm probably over-repeating myself, but if you, for any servers that you have participating in single sign-on with LTPA, you need to have that disabled anyway. Now, somebody had asked me the other day about, you know, well, if I'm not using LTPA for single sign-on, is it being used at all? Is a token being generated? And the answer is yes, it is. The LTPA authentication mechanism is the default authentication mechanism for WebSphere. And so every time a user logs in, that LTPA token is created and it's encrypted with the keys, even if it's never passed to another server that might need to decrypt it using single sign-on. So it's still important that, you know, the keys be secured and changed periodically for security reasons, because that token does still exist. It's used for some other items besides single sign-on. It can be used in web services quite a bit. It's used in, if you have any JAS custom login programs, sometimes it's used there. So it is still relevant even if you are not using the LTPA single sign-on. And we can move to slide 16. Okay, checking for corrupt LTPA keys or files. So in the process of working on the PMRs that came in for the various bugs that we have fixed and have scheduled to be fixed, you know, we come across customers who, unfortunately, for some reason or other, the key files have become corrupted, and they need to fix this. So if you're seeing LTPA key exceptions in the logs, or especially if you're trying to generate the keys from your console or with KeyTool, I think I forgot to mention, KeyTool is in the Java directory of WebSphere. It's a Java utility that you can generate keys using that instead of using the admin console if you wish. But if you're getting errors trying to generate these keys, you need to check for the corruption of that key file. So the best way to do this is to actually use KeyTool. Run the KeyTool from the Java bin directory, and simply use the list function to try to list out the entries. So I put an example there of the syntax and what the output should look like. So here you can see that it will list out the name of the keys and the date they were created. So if this fails, if it cannot list this out, then you've almost certainly got a corrupt key tool. We can move on to slide 17. And the way to recover from a corrupted key file is go ahead and back up the old file and remove it. Regenerate it with the console or with KeyTool. So essentially regenerating the keys will get you a new file or key store. You're going to want to stop your node agents and run the sync node script that exists in the bin directory, and this will bring your node agent back in synchronization with the deployment manager. And you may need to also stop your web browser and log back in. to use the admin console. But at that point, once you start up the node agents again, you'll have a good key file that can be used. And moving on to supply 18. Okay, so here's the how-to links that I had put in here for generating LTPA keys, managing the LTP keys for multiple cells. Just go through. The second link there will take you through those steps you need to set up single sign-on between two WebSphere cells using LTPA. Specifying the number of active keys. This takes you through, basically this is where you say, okay, I want to keep, you know, four keys active, five keys. Usually it's not necessary to keep more than two or three historical keys. And exporting the LTPA keys, and then, of course, disabling the LTPA key regeneration. And I think that's the end of the formal presentation. We can move on to slide 19, see if I have anything else here. And so, the rest of this just has links to various additional WebSphere product resources for you. So at this time, I'll turn it back over to Elijah.
Thank you, Catherine, for a great presentation.
And we'll hear first from Jerry Carlin with Bank of America.
Hi, I was following along the presentation where you basically said that you're using LTPA or actually being 7 even if you're not using SSL. So I had gone over to trying to see if I could figure out where to disable it, just out of test system to make sure I understood that.
Uh-huh.
And the instructions basically said expand the key to this management scope that contains the key set group, then click on the scope link under related items set key set groups. I can't find that. I've got a whole expansion of inbound and outbound for vanilla server. And, you know, I'm looking at all sorts of different things, you know, SIP, SIB, SOAP, SSL, SAS, but I don't know what one of those would be on a default installation.
You're talking about disabling the automatic LTPA key generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should just be under the, in the admin console.
Yeah, I'm in the admin console. I went through SSL security and key management, manage endpoint security configurations, and I've got the topology showing. But, I'm not sure where in the topology to go, I guess. Because I have servers, clusters, node groups, and I have servers.
Well, you should see either a cell name or a node name, depending on.
Right, yep.
So if you click on, say, one of the cell names and then click on key set groups.
Okay. Key set group. Okay, I found one.
And so in there, and then you need to click on the name.
Yeah.
You know, like cell LTPA key set group.
Right. And then I see automatic generate keys are true. So, okay, now I found it. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, so just unclick that, and then you will need to restart the server.
Right. No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I could find my way there. Thank you very much.
Oh, I totally understand.
And we'll hear next from Michael Kilalea with Cigna.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for a great presentation. I wanted to ask if the the LTPA keys and the key store are now compatible with the GSK.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so I can use the GSK, you know, command line utilities to manipulate the LTPA keys now?
Yes, you can. Yeah, in 6.1 we did make that.
Okay, great. That was my question. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
From Herman Hubler with IBM.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for the presentation, first of all. It was really interesting. I just have a few questions which came up to my mind. if there's an automatic generation of the LDPA keys in place, who triggers this, or which server? Is it the deployment manager who triggers the automatic regeneration if it's a network deployment environment, or can this be triggered by any server in the cell?
For network deployment, it is the deployment manager that triggers it.
And the LDPA keys, are these symmetric or asymmetric keys?
Let me check real quick. It can either be a symmetric secret key or an asymmetric key pair.
Depending on what?
Well, they're both generated by default.
Okay.
So that you have the option of using either one.
Okay. And one more question. What's required if I do SSO with an older version of Lotus Domino? Does Lotus Domino also support this JKS key store now, or is there any other way to run SSO with an older Domino version? Because usually you just exported the keys and imported the keys again in Domino. Is it the same process here now, or can I just exchange the key stores with Lotus Domino?
Right. You definitely can do it. As far as I know, what you would need to do is export the keys from your Domino server, import them into WebSphere, and they'll be added into that key set. So
can I have it added, or do I have to disable automatic regeneration in this case as well?
Yes, you definitely need to disable the automatic regeneration.
Okay.
But you can do it manually.
Okay, got the point. And if I change the password of the LDPA.jceks key store, is there anything to consider, or can I just change it in the admin console?
I'm sorry, change what about the key store?
The password for the key store, which is...
Oh, the password,
Can I just change it in the admin console, or is there anything else I need to consider?
No, you need to change it either in iKeyman or the key tool.
But if I change it via iKeyman, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know if it's anywhere in the console.
But isn't it needed in the inside the cell configuration as well, the new password, or... Because, WebSphere somehow needs to read the keys when it starts up, so I definitely need the password for the keys to insert the WebSphere cell configuration as well. That's why I thought it needs to be changed via the admin console.
Well, in version 6.1, the password has been separated from the runtime. When you look in the key set group where it says export keys, you put a password in there. The only thing the password you've used for is import or export of the keys into the console.
But if a web application server needs to read the key when it starts up, it needs to know the password for the key store, right? Otherwise, you can't read the key from out of the key store.
Well, that's a good question. My understanding was that, it's an encrypted... It just needs to encrypt or decrypt them to actually read the key store. No, I don't think it needs a password, but I can check on that for you.
Because usually if you read the key from the key store, you need to specify a password as we have shown in your example from the key tool.
Yeah.
Don't specify the password.
Right.
The same needs WebSphere, so I guess it must be through the admin console, but the question is, do we need to update any other properties or something like this as well?
No, not that I know of, but let me give you my email address and let me, check into that. But, no, I mean, the only thing you need, the password to export the keys, you need to remember that so that you can, because you'll need it when you try to import it into another cell.
Okay, but that's a different password, right?
But that's different. The password to just simply open up the key in iKeyman, I don't know that WebSphere needs to know that.
Okay, but can I drop you an email? Probably you can check it out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. My email address is reich, and then ca at us.ibm.com.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
We'll take our next question from Mike Witters with Wynn Wholesale.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I just wanted to know if there are any public APIs that would allow us to programmatically manipulate LTPA keys.
Yeah, yes, there are. If you hang on a minute, and I'll pull up the Info Center and tell you the article to look at. If you look up, there's a key generator class name called LTPA key generator, all one string. And I know my system's being slow, of course, but
a lot of links to creating a key set configuration.
Right. Okay. If you click on that creating a key set configuration, there's a link down at the bottom.
Okay.
That under related reference, it says example retrieving the generated keys from a key set group.
Yes.
And it gives you a programmatic example there.
Okay.
Of doing it programmatically and
I guess what I'm looking for is something where if we can extract a username from an LTPA key programmatically, is this the kind of place where that would be?
Oh, now extracting the username.
That's just one example of what I'm trying to.
Right. We're talking about like get subject. Let me see if I can do a search on that. That almost sounds like you're talking about Jazz programming. You might want to look under. Yeah, extracting the token name and so forth. You're going to want to look at our stuff under Jazz programs, JAAS. Custom login.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Why don't you send me an email as well, and I've got several links I can send you.
That'd be great. I have your email. I heard it from before, so.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
And we'll take our next question from Richard Zeller with Bank of America.
Hello. That was a good presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Some of the other questions stole some of my thunder, but I'm not sure I understood all your answers anyway, so I'll reiterate a little bit. It may seem repetitive. You said that key values are no longer stored in security.xml for LTPA.
Uh-huh.
However, I've looked at that file, and it may not have the actual key value, but there's definitely a password in there, and it looks suspiciously like the, quote, default password, unquote, of WebAS. Although it is encrypted, you know, with the whatever algorithm they use to encrypt those. And the problem is when I restart my servers, I always get this horrible warning that says, warning, you are using one or more key stores are using the default password. Is there a way to get rid of that, or are we just stuck with that until FP17 or whatever?
No, that actually is – that warning is not talking about the – the LTPA key stores, but it is talking about the
SSL.
Your SSL key stores, the P12 files.
Okay.
I don't know of a way to get rid of that. They really wanted to put that in there because they didn't like people keeping the default password, because the whole world has that password.
But even if we've changed that password and we're still getting it, I mean, one of the things I noticed that never changed was the LTPA password. That still seemed to be the default. I think.
So you've changed it and you're still getting it?
Yeah, except for LTPA. That one, like I said, that seems to want to use WebAS, and that kind of falls into what the other gentleman asked. Isn't it possible to change that password from WebAS to something else and just leave it that way? Or is WebAS, because of the proprietary nature of LTPA, is that what it is and it's hard-coded and you can't change it?
Well, no, you should definitely be able to change it. I guess I had not. I have not heard of this before.
If you look at your security.xml, I think you'll see, just grepping for LTPA or, you know, searching for it, I think you'll see that the password is defined in there.
Let me bring one of mine up here.
Anyway, So maybe I was on a wild goose chase, but for some reason I thought that was one of the few remaining default passwords still in our configuration. So I was trying to get rid of it and hoping that warning would go away. It sounds like
something I need to look into, because I have not heard of this problem. You should be able to change it. If you change it in...
I tried to use the console to change it.
Didn't work.
For whatever reason. And I went to FixPack 13 before I did that, because I heard somewhere that you don't even bother until you get to 13, because it's not doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
I did all that. But what I'm thinking is, we can dialogue about it. Maybe you can steer me in the right direction. I'm probably just making some mistake or something. So in the interest of time, I'll jump into my other question. It's a proprietary protocol. You can't just drop a VeriSign key in there or something like that, right? You have to stick with the IBM method. Is that a true statement? LTPA?
LTPA is proprietary, yes. There's a couple of articles in the Information Center that talk about creating your own keys, but I don't think, I'm not particularly clear on it myself, to be honest.
You're not sure how supported it would be, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's in there, so it should be supported. I guess I would have to get with my developers and find out, but there is, like, let me see if I can find that article. I stumbled across it. Okay.
But is it a manual generation, or do you actually go to a certificate authority and order a digital?
No, it's a manual generation.
Okay.
The article is called Creating a Key Set Configuration.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about... you know, using any kind of a key pair with an X509 certificate or a private key object.
Huh.
So I'm not so sure it wouldn't work.
It might.
I don't know how, yeah. Like I said, I don't know how supported it would be. You can definitely take a look at, do a search in the Info Center for that, creating a key set configuration.
Okay, I made a note of that. If you're not running JASS, JASS, KASS, whatever it is. If you're not running that thing, do you need this only for SSO, or are there other things you need it for?
You mean the LTPA keys themselves? Yeah. You have to have it if you're using LTPA as your authentication mechanism,
okay.
Which 99% of everybody should be, because the only other option is SLAM, which is...
Yeah, I understand.
You know, for a single little test server only, and it's been deprecated anyway. So
you said you need to disable the automatic generation if you're. But is that true no matter what, or only if you're going cross-cell SSO?
Only if you're going cross-cell SSO in general. But right now, everybody should be because of the bugs.
So if I have one cell and say even one node all in the same box, I still should probably be disabling it just to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you can put on FixPack 15.
Okay, that's helpful. I didn't know that. That was worth the meeting just to hear that.
If you don't do that, the problem that this current bug, it basically gives you a bunch of synchronization trouble.
Oh, okay.
If you know, you run into, now if you've got your automatic generation date set so that, you know, way out in the future.
Then it doesn't matter nearly as much.
Won't matter, but... you know, just to be safe, you should probably turn it off.
Okay, well, I think I've got enough to get started, and I may send you an email about these warnings, or
yeah,
you have to do a support call on that. But
yeah, please do.
And the password, I am interested, because we do need to change that. We're not really supposed to stay with default passwords.
Right, right.
But I'm pretty sure, I don't know how that relates to generating the token. That's not a question I know how to answer, but it does seem to somehow read it. It does seem to be in a security file. All right, thank you. I'm going to mute. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
We'll take our next question from Mahendra Patel with Harcourt.
Hi, thank you very much for a great presentation and taking my call. I have a single cell with multiple nodes, and each node contains multiple servers. Now, since this is a single cell and it's a network deployment, so I basically, even if I leave the auto-generate enabled, it will basically, those key will be generated automatically, and those will be synchronized with the nodes and server resides totally on different physical server, right?
Right. Yeah, they'll be generated automatically on all your nodes. So you are running network deployment, you have a deployment manager?
I have a deployment manager running on separate physical server and then node on other physical servers. So if I set to have this auto-generated, I believe it will be generated on deployment manager server, and then it will get synchronized with the node server, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. Now, if I have multiple cells, do I need to set this auto-generate on just one cell or all cells, and then export the keys from each cell and import that to every other cell?
Yeah.
How that works in multiple cell environment?
Yeah, for multiple cells environment, for every cell, you'll need to go in and disable the automatic key regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
So for each one, you'll do that, and then you'll need to manually on one of the cells, it doesn't matter which one, but on one of the cells, export the keys manually and import them into all the others.
Okay, so it's only one cell, just generate and then import that key to all other cells.
Right, right.
Okay, that's all. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take our next question from Timothy Allen with IBM.
Oh, hello. Just a very quick question. You mentioned that you could get a discrepancy on the key clock settings because they're not set from the WAS server. Are those clock settings set from the server operating system?
Yeah, as far as I know. Yeah, it's
whatever
your operating system clock is running. Yeah.
Okay, and they're set for, and so when you get a problem where there can be drift between the clocks, and then people get an authentication failure, what is the remedy to that if it happens?
Your remedy would be to stop. You need to stop your servers, the Webster servers.
Okay.
And resynchronize your clocks on operating systems, and then restart everything.
Okay, so if you resynchronize your clocks at the operating system, is that an operating system function, nothing to do with WAS?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's it's just my understanding. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Sure.
And we'll take a question from James Austin with IBM.
Hello.
Hello.
A great presentation. I may have misunderstood or missed part of it. I was curious about the sharing of LTPA tokens from 6 to 6.1 or from 5 to 6.1.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't cover that. Your basic procedure, it hasn't changed. You still export your keys from one and import them into the other. As far as the console goes, you really don't see much of a difference. You still have an export button on one and an import button into the other. The only real difference is if you want to look at them on your 6.1 system, you'd have to open up the LTPA key store there or export basically the keys and take a look at it that way.
Okay, would it be better to export from the lower release level and import into the higher, or the other way around?
Yeah, that's usually what I recommend. Start with the version 6.0 and export from there, and then import that back into the 6.1.
Thank you.
And we have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Catherine, for representing today.